Right, so privileged to be here today, and it's a bit mind-boggling where we've been and where we are here today, because it's almost like you have to have a sort of one part of the brain thinking Argentina, where we are, and then back in England you have to have the other part and not sort of try to compare the two, because it's just so very, very different. I'd like to say thanks very much indeed for all your prayers and support over the last, 7 years it's been actually, but it's 3 years since we were last here. And I hope it's given us a little bit of an idea what God's been doing there, and maybe a chance to what God's doing here as well. I love the way that Jesus so often uses parables and stories to try to help us understand what the kingdom of God is like. Because the way God works and the way his kingdom works is so strange to us that the stories, it's a sort of a way in under our defences. And this is one of those stories. He says it's like a king, we just heard, who prepared a wedding banquet for his son. Is there anyone here who has not been to a wedding? We've all been to weddings, right? Okay, that's easy then, isn't it? So we can all imagine those weddings. But this wasn't a normal wedding. This was a big event. It was a king. So it's think big. Think several days at least. Think loads of money, loads of expense. Think if you were invited, what a privilege it would have been as well. Two things about customs. Otherwise, it doesn't make sense, this story. It sounds a bit horrifying, actually, otherwise. First thing, they would have had two invites, the guests. There would be a sort of like a save the date, which we understand about now, don't we? You know, it's going to happen that date, so save. So that was the first. And then the second invite was when everything's actually ready, okay? So everything's ready, come now, all right? So that's the way it worked then. Second thing, if it was a fancy wedding, apparently it was the king's responsibility in this case to provide wedding clothes for all his guests. Got that? That's important, otherwise you don't get the story. The king, you didn't go in your own gear, he provided the gear for all the wedding guests. That's just how it worked in those days, if it was a big event. Not a normal wedding, it wasn't a normal wedding. So I just want to look at two things, really. The response to the invitation. You would think everyone's jumping to go, wouldn't you? You would think a fancy wedding. But actually, it doesn't quite work out like that, does it? The first lot of servants go out, and people don't want to come. Actually, it says it more bluntly. They refuse to come. Now, what's going on here? King tries again. He sends more servants out. And he says, come now, all is ready. Now, in Weechi terms, they really understand this. Because do you see what it says here? It says, come ready. My oxen and fatted cattle have been slaughtered. Now, you know, with a Weechi event about to happen, you go outside and you see that there's a cow tethered to a tree. So you know it's not quite time yet. And then later on, the cow is no longer tethered to the tree, and it's given its life for the and here it says cattle have been slaughtered. It's all ready, so it's important people get on with it and come. But it's strange again, because here it says there's reactions. Some don't want to come, some go off to their field, come off to their business, and then others actually mistreat and kill the servants. So what's going on here? And the king's furious in the story. And then lastly, it says the king has another go. He says to his servants, okay, this time I want you to go out on the streets and just invite people. It says, anyone you find. Remember, this is the king doing this, anyone you find. 10, so the servants went out into the streets and gathered all the people they could find, both good and bad. And the wedding hall was filled with guests. That's what the king wanted, wasn't it? A big occasion for his son's wedding. So it's full. Now, I'm not going to go into this. I'm going to just leave it hanging for a moment. But The king comes in. What's he expecting to see in that wedding feast? Well, he's going to see the hall full, obviously. But what are people going to be wearing? Well, he's provided the stuff, hasn't he? They're all going to be wearing their wedding clothes that he's actually provided for them. Now, just two things that strike me about that. Loads of people are invited. The first lot don't show any interest. And then it's the people out on the street, they're the ones who respond. Now, if you've read the story of Jesus' life, it's exactly like that in his life. The people who were first invited, they said, got better things to do. By and large, that was the response. And it was the people on the margins of Jewish society in those days, they're the ones who responded. It's strange, but that's how it turned out. And I want to look just very quickly now at the servants of the king who go out and how they get on in the story. Okay. Well, actually, slaves is the word, really, because the king had slaves. They weren't servants. They had to do what they had to do what the king said. But the first lot, they go out, and what are they expecting? They're expecting an easy job because they're simply calling people to the wedding. And you can imagine their surprise, can't you? People say, no, we don't want to come. And then the second batch are sent out, and what happens then? Well, it's not good news, because some of them are mistreated and some are actually killed. That's not what they expected at all. And then the last bit of the story, the king says, okay, now go out and just invite anyone you can find. Can you imagine what the slaves felt about that? I think they were probably a bit scared, really. A bit scared, going right out of their comfort zone, as we would say. Not sure what sort of response there's going to be. The response has already been bad, but then it's absolutely upside down, isn't it? They're the people who pile in. They're the ones who pile in. Exactly what they didn't expect. And before we get a bit surprised about this story, the servants, for Jesus was the arch servant of God, wasn't it? And we know what happened to him. He invited, and they crucified him. So this is not just a fanciful story. Okay, now this is where we hope the technology is going to work. Callum, number one, please. And I just want to do a bit of sort of grounding it in the situation where we've been living and working, and maybe seeing what it's like for you here as well. Yeah, it's a bit too sunny today, isn't it? But the first thing I'd like to say is that's a sort of a typical group of Wichí. They're indigenous people, three groups of indigenous people. Are they the important people in Argentina? No, they're not. They're the marginalised. They're the marginalised, very much the marginalised. So they're not the people who would have expected to get that invite to the wedding at all. But they have, and they've responded. Slide number two. Now this is a bit mysterious in the gloom, but you can see it's quite clear, I hope, what it is. It's a tree that's been pretty much cut off at the roots. And you can just see a little bit of a sprout coming off, can't you? And this is sort of Wichí indigenous self-image of how things have gone for them. This is a translation. The indigenous people, this is them speaking, like a tree trunk, were chopped down, its fruit was eaten, and it was left for dead. But this trunk had deep roots, and after many years, it began to sprout again. We ourselves are the new branches. The tree was not dead. And it's a strange thing. They were nearly obliterated, all the groups in the north of Argentina. The coming of the gospel, that invitation, that's what made the difference, gave hope for new growth. It's a bit of a shoot still. It's not really very strong, but that's just the way they see things. Slide three, please. And this is a group of people who are also responding to that invitation. they were all baptized, just as we saw this morning, as children. And there, so the first step is confirmation. Are they going to respond to that invite or not? And it's a mix, young people, men, women, old people, complete mix. Some have heard for ages, but nothing happened. Confirmation. Next, please. This is a group of women, amare, I will love, who are hearing that invitation, and they're saying, yeah, we want to sign up to this. Actually, I say sign up because some of them can't even write or read. And it's actually quite moving. So they sign this commitment. Yes, I'm going to love God with all my heart, going to love my neighbour as myself, and I'm going to try to reach out, especially to their families. And it's quite moving. They come to sign, I can't sign, so someone else has to sign in their place. Responding to that invitation. Next one, please. Well, how about St. Francis? Mm-hmm. Who's invited? Well, we're all invited, aren't we? I think the question is, have we responded? Or are we still responding? Because sometimes, like the original people that had their first invite, all started well, but when they asked the second invite, nothing happened. And that's the basic invitation that Jesus gave in his whole life, come, follow me. And it's one of those things, when you make that commitment to follow, you actually don't know what you're letting yourself in for, do you? It's like that. And I think the first disciples, they started following, they didn't have a clue what they were getting themselves into. It was both exciting and scary, depending on what was happening. Next one, please. I think this is important. Wedding clothes. I don't know where you class yourself as good or bad, or bit of a mix. Well, you know, I know how I class myself. I would say a bit of a mix. But one of the wonderful things about this invitation is that the wedding clothes have been provided for us. You were washed. Well, that's what baptism's all about, isn't it? Jesus dying on the cross, washing all that badness, that grot that we all have part of in ourselves. You were washed in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ by the Spirit of God. That's what part of what the robe means. And then that second part, I just like this. It says, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ. So instead of seeing God the Father seeing my grot, he doesn't see me like that at all. He sees me sort of clothed with the character of Jesus. And it's a process of transformation all alive, isn't it? And that's a real relief. Sometimes people think being Christian is about working really hard to be good. It's not that. It's not that, because Jesus has already done the job for us. The garments have been provided already. Next one, please. I think you all know what amare means. What does it mean? I will love, okay? And that's this commitment the ladies have signed up to. I will love God with everything I am. Neighbour as myself, but reaching out, especially, as I said, to families. Next one, please. This is not a very flattering one, but they're going on a sort of journey to a different community to take that message, this invitation. And it wasn't a particularly comfortable journey, actually. And they were squashed in. When they eventually got into the truck, they were squashed in like sardines. They really were. And they didn't know what the end was going to be, what sort of reception they were going to get the other end. It was going out of their comfort zone. It really was. And, yeah, risk of rejection. But actually, in some cases, they've been really surprised by the reaction. So sort of the invitation that people are just waiting for. Next one, please. And this is just a group of leaders. I'm involved in sort of being alongside new leaders in training. seeking to know God for themselves, seeking to be transformed by God's love, but also trying to encourage reaching out as well, reaching out. Next one, please. And how about us here, St. Francis? I was at a PCC day yesterday, and I was invited, and they were talking about different generations and how this invitation needs to pan out for the different generations. And I don't know what the outcome was, because I had to leave after coffee time. I don't know what the focus is going to be. But what I do know is that this invitation to follow, to come to the wedding banquet, it does include being servants, inviting others as well. In Weymouth, they're having a J. John for a series of Christmas events. And you can go as a member of the congregation. You can only go, though, if you've got someone else going with you. Okay, so the one-on-one, I think they called it something like that. And that's for all of us, isn't it? The call to reach out. Wherever he sends us. It may be just going across the street. It can be going to a different part of a family, maybe. It can be, it's up to the Lord, isn't it, where he sends us. So I think that's the challenge. Last one, please. And this is a group of leaders I was working with, and that's their way of sending their greetings to you. So receive greetings from Weechi Toba, the church leaders in training there. But they face exactly the same challenge that we face here. Getting the invite out, people understanding what the invite is. Come follow me, says Jesus. But also the challenge of the reaching out, because it's not just the invite for ourselves, but it's for others as well. And we don't know what the result's going to be. Probably those we expect to respond well will respond badly. That seems to be the thing from the parable. And those that we don't expect to respond well, maybe they're the ones who will. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for that invitation that goes out to all of us. And I pray you'd help each of us to hear that invitation and let go of anything that gets in the way so we can respond to that invitation. And that second thing, I pray also for that challenge of taking that invitation out to those who haven't heard about it yet, taking that risk to take that invitation out. And we pray that there will be a really good meeting when it does finally come to that wedding feast. People from St. Francis here in Salisbury, Weechi, all the nations of the world coming together at that wedding feast. Amen.